Okay. I'm Brent Gilbert. I'm a dev for the graphics team, which is right now responsible for the Office Art platform. Let me see here if I can find all my little tools I need here. So today, getting this presentation ready, I wasn't really sure what people really wanted to see. I saw some of the surveys, what people were specifically asking for. I thought a lot of that was very app-specific, so I wasn't entirely sure what to cover there. I went back to some of the questions we've got from implementers, tried to make sure that I covered some of those, so you may recognize some details that have come up via those in the past. But I thought I'd give a brief history of how we got to this document, and then do a high-level overview of the major structures. And at the end, the thing that most people seemed most interested in was the app integration. That's an interesting story for us because this of the things that are being presented here today, we are the ones who don't actually own a whole file format. We are just a piece and part within those different formats. So there are various ways in which we are integrated for each of the different file formats. I'm not going to say I'm an expert in any of this for that matter, but for the app integration in particular, sometimes that kind of falls in the gutter between whether the app team knows that part better than we do or if we do, but I will try to give at least a high-level overview of how our structures fit into the various binary formats. I have to get used to using this thing. So a little history. We inherited this file format from another team, and they were so kind as to have documented the binary format for us previously. The document wasn't written according to the standard that we had established at that time, but it was at least a nice resource for us. As the people who own this format, but not the original authors of this format, it was very helpful for us because a lot of this, we really had no idea what a lot of these things were and how this format was structured. So we started a couple, maybe almost 3 years ago, documenting this format for Office 12 and back to Office 95 or 7. I can't remember how far back we went. But this was more of an archaeology dig for us than anything else. We didn't have the experience to really contribute that much to it. So we went through thousands and thousands of documents looking at these things, looking through the source code, trying to figure out how all this worked. So what we have now is really a culmination of that. The other thing we had is a tool called Gatekeeper, which was something that the pub team had originally created. And that was the foundation on which we started with. And it was basically a XML schema that defined the binary format, and it was actually a tool for validating that files were valid before they were loaded into Publisher. We also had this one nice central location in the Office Art platform that at least listed out all of the properties that are contained in the binary format, so that was also a great resource for us as well. However, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with code, a lot of the names in there were rather cryptic, so determining what the heck they were was half of the battle. After we did that initial push, there was one more push for the Office 14 stuff. However, with the latest versions of Office, we aren't doing binary anymore. That isn't our primary file format. So the changes to the binary format were very minimal. I think there was like two additions that were added, so that wasn't too much to do there. Going forward, again, binary is not the format we are going forward with. However, it is still used by Pub. I think Access uses it. So they may continue to add to this format. However, those are outside of the scope of what we were documenting, so I wouldn't expect there to be any big changes there. We do occasionally get questions from people like yourselves for clarification on things, errors in the documentation. So we try to respond to those as quickly as we can. And we're always making updates to the documentation based on that feedback because, again, we aren't necessarily the people who authored this stuff. So a lot of times you guys stumble on things that we didn't realize were there or were supported. So we're adding those things all the time. Again, publisher is still using the binary format, but it's outside of the scope of this. Excel does have a binary format as we go forward. However, it's not the same binary format. They, from what I understand, again, I'm not the expert here, it's sort of a hybrid between the current XML document and the old binary format, whereas the Excel data is stored in the binary format, and the other non-Excel stuff, graphics, is stored as the new XML format. So while it is still a binary format, it's not this binary format as far as the graphics stuff is concerned. I don't know if anybody's looked at the document. There's a big diagram at the very top that actually was something we took from the original documentation that the previous team had created. And I basically just reimagined that diagram for this, hoping that if that one didn't make sense, maybe this one makes more sense. I don't know. So, you know, outside of the context of the drawing, there's a bunch of stuff related to Word or Excel or PowerPoint. But at the top level, we have a group of drawings. You may have, you know, one to many drawings contained in that thing. There's some properties associated with the drawing group, which I believe are the defaults in most cases. One of the apps, I believe it's Excel, doesn't actually use drawing groups, but that's, again, an app-specific implementation. There's also the Blip store. Blips are one of the things that we had to learn a lot about, and we continue to learn a lot about, because there are so many various ways in which the apps store blips. That's basically metafiles, bitmaps, anything like that. So within a single drawing, you have multiple shapes in most cases, maybe all cases. Even a single shape is associated with a group shape. And then if you have multiple shapes, they are all also associated and located alongside the group shape. Solvers are something that are used for the geometry, like if you have custom geometry, I believe. They may define how the shape behavior works, like adjustment handles and that kind of thing. Within a shape, you have client data. That's defined by the clients. I believe we have a callback into the client apps where they can save as like positional data or anything like that, but that's proprietary to whatever app we're hosted in. And then we have property tables. Property tables, depending on how many customizations you've done to a shape, these can get very large. I think, you know, there's several hundred properties that can exist for a single shape. But those are all contained within a single shape. And then they are analogous to these property tables here. And in fact, some of these properties may exist in both places. These are the defaults. So if you don't have property one in this shape's property table, then that's the one that's applied to there. But otherwise, those are all the additional properties that have been applied to that shape. We have a whole bunch of records in the file format. These are the ones that I felt like were probably some of the more important ones to talk about. And again, this comes from our experience with documenting the file format. you know, I have the B-Store stuff on here because it was such a difficult thing to investigate while we were doing it. Record header, I have that here basically because every object has that, so it's important to start there as a way to navigate the binary data. The FSP is the shape, and the opid, nice name, is actually what's used to, that's the individual property within the property table, which the opt-e is the, it's actually an entry. So these are things I thought we'd cover. I'll give you a little more detail on them here, I guess. So the record header. Again, every one of these objects, these container objects, has a record header. And they describe what this record is, and will then also give you enough information so that if it's a record you don't care about, you can skip ahead. Just as a quick overview, this is in the documentation, so I don't know how much I really need to delve into this. So the ver, little misnomer, but this determines whether it's an atom, so it's a leaf in the structure, or if it's a container. Container contains more records. The instance is, let me see here, what was the instance? Oh, this says which type of atom it is. The rec type is what kind of record it is. And then the record length, of course, says how long this entire record is, inclusive of this header and all the data that's contained in it. So if it has a whole bunch of records contained in it, that's going to be a huge thing and will actually encompass all those things. And again, that's so that you can skip this entire record if it's something that you don't care about. One example, again, with the blips. In fact, I think I saw an article on MSDN about somebody just loading the bitmaps out of a PowerPoint presentation. So with that information, you can skip and just get to the bitmaps. The shape, this is the shape information. This has information about whether or not it's a group. And again, there's one group, and it's co-located with any other shapes within that group. In here, there's one particular thing that we had a lot of confusion about, and that's the rec instance. That is actually the shape enum for any predefined shape. So if you click on the insert shape drop down and insert a rectangle, there's a enum for rectangle, and that's what's there. When we first started documenting this, there was actually a property that was the shape type. Turns out that's not actually used by anything. This is the one that's actually the shape type. So if you ever find a document with a property shape type, it's wrong. This is the one. So the FOPTIOPID, this is the analogous to the common header for the all the container objects, but this is the header that's on every property. There is a bit here, I don't remember which one it is, A or B. The B bit says that this is a complex property. So any property has space for 4 bytes of data. So if you ever encounter a property, like a name or a text on a string or something like that, actually text is a bad example because that's determined by the app, but the name of a shape. And if it's for some reason larger than 4 bytes, so it will not fit in this property record, then this bit will be set to 1, and it will say that it's a complex property, and the complex data will be at the very end of this array of opids. And it will then also say, and so then this 4 bytes that would have held that property data had it not been complex will also say the size of the data within that structure. So if you've got, you know, 2 or 3 of these complex properties in there, each one will say how long it is, and then that date at the very end of the array will be the sum of all those parts together. By the way, if you guys have any questions along the way, just stop me and ask them. So for these individual properties, one of the things that we discovered was that while in theory the order of them shouldn't matter, it turned out there were some cases where the order didn't matter, so they should be in numerical order by the ID number. I don't remember the specific scenario why that happens, but it's just best if you always write them out in the correct order. And I think all the Office apps always write them out in the correct order. There are three tables that hold these properties: primary, secondary, and tertiary. The secondary, tertiary, or second FOPT only has video in it. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. The primary opt, if you look through the source code anyway, it seems to indicate that the reason these other ones exist is some bug in Office 97, and it had to be broken out into multiple tables. So if you look in the documentation again, there's a huge list of these are all of the properties that can exist in the primary opt. It's not actually called primary, it's just opt without primary, Office Art, something or other, FOPT. And then the tertiary op holds everything else that doesn't fit in primary and is not a video, which would be in the secondary FOPT. The way to keep the file size down, is we do not emit all of the properties. If you just insert a shape and have not customized it in any way, theoretically, then no additional properties would have to be saved out with that. The shape ID would show up in that previous record, but the fill, the line style, line width, all the other stuff would just be the default values. And that way, we don't have to save all these properties out for every single shape, and we get a lot smaller file size that way. And again, the complex properties are at the very end of the table. So whenever you see that F complex flag set, the actual data you're looking for is at the end of that table. Booleans are an interesting one. Booleans are packed together in a single property. They are grouped together by functionality, like what, I don't know, 3D properties. There's some 3D Boolean properties, for example. In order to save space, these are packed together, and I believe, what is it, the first two bytes are filled with the actual flags that you would want to set, and then those are duplicated again, and if you're looking in the documentation, there's an FUs something or other, because if any single one of these Booleans needs to be set, we need to save it out to the file format. Well, this one bit is going to be one, and all the rest are going to be zeros. Well, if you're just reading that, you might assume that all those zeros mean, oh, they should all be false. Well, no, you can't assume that. So there is an analogous or parallel set of bits that say whether or not each of those previous bits are to be used or not. So in that case where you've got one property set, it's flipped to one. Everything else is zero. If you then look at the FUs flags for all these things, if only the FUs associated with that one is set, then that is the only property in there that is valid. If there's another one set to one and it's associated with a zero, then that means, yes, that is supposed to actually be a zero. So anything that does not have FUs set to one should be ignored, and they should just use the default value. I think one of the things in the documentation that isn't entirely clear is around the default values. All the default values are documented there, and I think a lot of people, when they've read the document, they assume, well, this property needs to be here, and this is the value it needs to have to be a default. No, that just means if that property is not there, that is the default value that is assumed in the absence of that property. BStore container, this really encompasses three different blip stores, BStores, they're called. The various apps have different schemes for how they store the blips, the images. I guess that includes videos as well. I'll go into specifically how each of them does that when I get to the app specific stuff. But in most cases, I think PowerPoint, Excel, and Word will all use the BStore container. And that is just a giant array of blips. There's some, let me see here. I didn't explicitly put that here, but they contain Office Art BStore container file blocks. Those in turn either have an Office Art FBSE file blip store entry, I believe that is, or directly have an Office Art blip. And then the blip, the Office Art FBSE also would in turn hold an Office Art blip. And the blip has a flag on it that says, or I don't remember, a few bits that say what type of blip it is. The BStore container is contained in the Office Art DGG, that's the drawings group, and that is the standard place that most apps put their blips. The BStore delay, I'm not entirely sure what the context for why it exists when it does, but it's strictly used by PowerPoint, and Ash can probably speak to that. Yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything to, if you know any logic of why that's there. But from my understanding, the desire there was so that PowerPoint could delay load images in the background. I know that it supposedly is only used if you do... No, I'm thinking of something else. That's the next thing. The Office Art Inline SP container. This is a Word-specific thing, and if in previous versions of Word, if you were to just go insert picture, so sort of two ways to get pictures in the Office apps. One is to insert picture. The other is you can do a picture fill on a shape. The result looks the same, but it isn't always exactly the same internal implementation, and in the case of Word 2000-something, 2000 and earlier, it actually stored it differently. And what this is it's essentially all the structures that we've talked about for groups and drawings and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't exist. They just use this Office Art Inline SP container with just the information that's needed for the blip, and the blip is actually stored as a blip fill property on the shape with the blip data itself contained as the complex value for that fill. So again, that's a unique scenario for Word. But universally, I think this is probably the one that's used everywhere, and it's probably the preferred method of saving things. One more thing. Okay, so the Office Art blip, the record header for that actually has the blip type determined by the rec type field in the record header. There's one more weird thing that we discovered, and that's there's a BT Win32 and a BT Mac OS, which all or both say what type of image is stored in there. And it's interesting because you might wonder why is it specified twice within a file. It turns out that this is primarily used for PICT because, as you may know, PICT is very prevalent on the Mac, but not so much in Windows. In fact, some Windows apps can't even open a PICT. We can open a PICT. Could. I don't know if we still do. In the case where I'm in Mac Word or something like that, and I insert a picture as a PICT, and then I open that up in Windows, the idea here is that that should be converted to something that Windows understands, and it would then be, so both of those, both the PICT and, I can't remember what PICT gets translated to, but whatever the Windows analogous format would be, both of those would be stuffed into the Blip store, and each of those would be filled out with the corresponding, so the macOS one would be PICT and the Win32 one would be whatever the Win format is there. And that way, at a later time, if somebody were to open this up on a Windows platform and did not have any way to convert that PICT, they would have the Windows compatible format there. All right, so this is to the integration part. Again, I'm not going to claim I'm an expert on any of this. There's always a huge discussion amongst the teams whenever any sort of question comes in about these, because it's a area that probably isn't very well covered in the file format documentation, just because while we define the format of our stuff, how it's contained within the host app is defined by the host app, and there's a lot of communication back and forth there that sometimes isn't entirely clear. Word integration, this is one that I hadn't looked at a lot of this stuff for the last few years, so I had to go back and re-educate myself on a lot of it, and this was the one that took me quite a while. Unfortunately, I was going to try to remote into one of my machines where I had some of the tools running, and I could actually show you some of these things, but I can't get remote desktop to work, so I'll just have to talk about it. Word has this wonderful field here, of which I don't know what it means, but it's got this field in there that says the size of any drawing data. If there is no drawing, it's zero. Within that drawing data, let's see, there is, okay, so within that drawing data, the OfficeArt DGG is the first record. So that's going to have all of the top level across all drawing information. It is followed by an OfficeArt Word drawing record. Despite the name, that is not something that is defined by us. It is defined by Word. And the only reason that is important is because I believe the very first little bit of data in there is something that is written by Word. And I don't honestly know what that little bit of data is or what it means. Right after that little bit of data is, again, our stuff, and that's the OfficeArt DG container. So that's a drawing container. And then that contains all the drawing information, all the shapes and everything else. Again, the blips are stored in a OfficeArt BStore container, or in the case that I mentioned before, when you actually just do insert picture, it could appear as an OfficeArt inline SP container. And again, that's just the bare minimum to get a picture in there. It doesn't have all of this other drawing information up there. Excel. If you open up the Excel document, depending on which tool you use to do it, you'll actually see, like, with the current version of Excel, which, by the way, if you are using the current version of Office, they don't necessarily follow the same rules as the older ones, which the binary was the native file format. So don't go using Office 2010 and expect it to write out the exact same binary data as Office 2000. But in the current implementation of Excel, you'll open it up and you'll see a sheet, three sheets, because the default is three sheets. And those are each their own stream. There is not a DGG container. So the defaults there aren't there. They don't have those defaults. So all those properties that would have been in the default are not there. There is an MSO drawing within each of those streams, those sheets that have drawing data. Again, this is the MSO drawing is something that's defined by Excel. However, looking at it, I don't think there was any extra data in there, so it doesn't really mean anything as far as we're concerned. So it really is just an Office Art DG container. After we published the book the first time, we did get a question about this. Somebody found this Office Art SP container within the MSO drawing. That was news to us, so we had to update the documentation on that. So this is a case where it's just a single shape inserted in there. I can't speak to the app-specific logic of why one is chosen over the other, but both of those are valid things defined inside the MSO drawing. As it implies here, this is just a single shape, whereas this could be a whole series of shapes. Again, Excel uses the BStore container. They don't seem to use any of the other crazy blip schemes. Yeah?
It's not entirely correct, I think.
What's that?
It's not entirely correct as far as I
okay.
found the files.
Sure.
There is an Office Art DGG container in their workbook, in MSO drawing group.
Oh, yeah? Because everyone I looked at didn't have that. But yeah, you may be right.
And an Office Art DG container is split over multiple MSO drawing records interleaved with other Excel specific data,
mm-hmm.
which makes it rather complicated to parse.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's one container in one drawing, one container in multiple drawing records.
Yeah. So, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Excel has these crazy continue records. I don't know anything about those things.
Yeah. I think, as you were saying, you can get drawing records or something else continue for the drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Excel, the way they structure their binary stuff, is completely foreign to me. So, if you guys have more experience with that, then you have more experience with it. Yeah, Bill's up after me. Good, ask him. So, I think, any other questions on that? Comments? Corrections? PowerPoint. See, we've got Ash here. He can correct all this. If you're actually looking at the documentation, the examples that are there are actually taken from PowerPoint. PowerPoint is where Office Art is most tightly integrated, and it probably more closely, the documentation more closely represents what PowerPoint writes than any of the other Office apps. The caveat there is the master shapes and slides and stuff add a whole bunch of extra stuff. If you go open a PowerPoint deck and insert a shape and save it, and then go look for your shape data, you're going to hit a whole bunch of stuff in the masters before you ever hit the one shape that you added. That's app-specific logic, not really covered by the file format, but it certainly makes navigating the file much more complicated. So there's a master somewhere up there that contains all that stuff, but then eventually you get down to the slide. The slide has a drawing container, which, if I'm not mistaken, is it's just the office art DG container. And then there's the drawing group container, which does have defaults for everything. And then the drawing group container has the office art FOPT with the presentation default properties, I believe they are. And then again, PowerPoint is the only one that uses the OfficeArt BStore delay. Not sure the logic of when they use that as opposed to the BStore container. Current versions all write out BStore container, so I think that's an old legacy attribute there. I think that is all I have, so we have time for a few questions, if anybody has any, or other corrections or anything like that. Anyone? Okay, I guess we're done then.